Chapter 16. Well, thank you for your lunch and your hospitality. So sorry to crash your vacation, especially with news about school, Seishiro apologized. Oh, no problem, Lina waved away his concern.
But Sei-chan,
Hokuto whined,
I wanted to hang out with you.
Well, I'm sorry, but duty calls. Don't worry, now that we're all moving here, it'll be a lot easier to see each other, right, Subaru? Seishiro involved the other twin in the conversation.
Right, Subaru said. Besides, Hokuto, it's an emergency. That means some poor animal is in trouble.
And I don't want my baby brother to get sad, Hokuto sighed.
Well, okay. She tiptoed over to the older man and kissed him on the cheek.
But you're going to have to take me shopping to make up for it.
All right, Seishiro laughed. We'll make it a date, right? Ah! He waved cheerfully and stepped outside, closing the door after himself.
Wait!
Subaru cried suddenly and leapt to his feet. Excuse me, he told the assembled youth, as he followed hot on Seishiro's footsteps.
What's with him? Val snorted.
Hokuto shrugged.
Maybe he, left something in the van. Or maybe he's professing his love to Sei-chan, she giggled.
Either way, he'll be right back. Now, tell me, how come your parents let you stay here unsupervised and all?
I got no parents, nor does Zelos, but the girls, well, we are trustworthy representatives of the male population, Val leered her way, then snorted back a laugh at her expression of incredulity. From her standpoint, he didn't look like the type she'd trust being alone with for 10 seconds. Standing about 6'5" tall with gangly bronzed limbs, Val's vivid spiked green hair, tattoos, piercings, and rings contributed to the dangerous, impressive aura he painstakingly cultivated.
Aren't you kind of the same? Or is Seishiro your legal guardian? Zell asked.
Oh, no! He's just... well, a kind of family friend. It's complicated. But isn't he so cool? He's like a big kid that can drive.
He sure knows some weird stuff, Lina mentioned.
Well, sure, but so does Subaru, you know? Different shrines have different traditions, Hokuto said.
The sound of the van's engine revving and then pulling away issued from outside.
Where is Subaru anyway?
Hokuto wondered.
Maybe he decided to leave with Seishiro?
Zelos suggested.
Oh no! Hokuto gasped. They left without me! That must mean...
She put a hand on her brow dramatically and looked away.
They've eloped!
Hokuto? Subaru had re-entered the cabin during her speech, unnoticed, and had heard enough to be blushing and pulling his hat down over his eyes to hide.
Oh, there you are, Subaru.
She laughed it off.
I was scared that my two favorite guys were leaving me. What would I do? A 16-year-old girl, all by myself. What a horrible thought.
I'll say, Val muttered.
Lina didn't hit him this time.
What took you so long, Subaru?
Hokuto demanded.
Nothing,
he claimed, and found a chair to huddle in away from her evergreen gaze. Well, now that we're all back together, Lina diverted the conversation. What should we do? Oh, wait, I know! Since they all played music and enjoyed listening to it, Lina fired up the CD player and treated everyone to her download selections and the Slayer's demo CD. It wasn't long before everyone was dancing and singing along.
Hey, Zell!
Lina shouted. You stuffed that guitar in the car, right?
Yes, he did. Did he want it broadcast to everyone? No, he did not.
Don't you give me that look, Buster, she snarled at him. How dare he think he could defy her will?
Go get it. I got some new stuff to go over with you.
Well, that was a little better. Helping Lina write a new song. Yes. He'd be cooperative now. Val was grumbling to Gowri. I don't like that guy. Something about him. Phony.
Who? That one?
Gowri indicated Subaru with a toss of his braid.
No, the one that left. Seishiro. He knows about the syndicate and bunches of other dark secrets, you can bet.
Val grumbled, arms crossed and golden eyes hard and steely. Hokuto poked at Amelia's arm.
I don't think your Mr. Val friend likes us very much.
Amelia snickered a little.
Ooh, Mr. Val's in a bad mood because Miss Philia couldn't come along. He really likes her a lot, and she... I think she likes him too, but they both flirt and tease each other.
Oh, I get it. He misses her, poor baby. Hokuto giggled along with Amelia.
And I did cross some other barrier by doing the blonde's hair, who, by the way, is one gorgeous hunk.
Amelia gave a lightning-quick glance Lena's way. Good. Lena is distracted and bickering with Zelgadas.
Miss Lena kind of watches over us all, she said cautiously. But I think Mr. Gowri only has eyes for her. It's so romantic, I think.
Oh, how cute! Okay, so then, does Mr. Zelos have a girlfriend?
No, but he's wanted one for the longest time. Why, do you think he's cute?
Amelia asked conspiratorially. Not that she would dabble in any matchmaking stuff. Not after Silphiel.
Oh man, yes! Hokuto shrieked. I can't believe he's not taken! He can really dance, too. He's new at school, in a way. Then he was a novice part of last year, and he's been real busy this summer, up until now.
Amelia was sweating bullets, trying to pass over the bloody details, and yet not make him sound like a weirdo. Sure, how easy that was.
Are you interested in him?
No way. I'll always be true to my Sei-chan. Hokuto declared.
I just wish he'd stop aging for a while so I could catch up.
She winked at Amelia. Suddenly, she leaned in, eyes squinted, nearly closed, and her voice lowered.
But you like the elf guy, don't ya?
Amelia blushed and nodded.
Is it that obvious?
So what gives? He like you or what? Hokuto asked.
He's just really shy, I think,
Amelia said. She wasn't in the mood to open up to this unknown element just yet. Shy? Hokuto started to argue, but was interrupted by another shout. Hey, Amelia! Lena shouted from the arm of the couch. Next to her was Zell, who was tuning his acoustic guitar. I've got a song for your sister I started when we were visiting her, but I think you could sing it. It's called Midnight Blue.
And you? Amelia whispered to Hokuto as they joined Lena and Zell. Does Seishiro like you, too?
That's a secret! Hokuto smiled and looked to the door where her brother was re-entering, head down in concentration.
That song Lena's working on, that's beautiful, you know. You guys are really talented. What you need are hot, eye-catching costumes on stage, I bet.
Well, I could design the best, just wait.
You need to talk to Miss Lena about anything like that, Amelia warned the enthusiastic girl. Then the whole band has to agree.
I need to see the water, Val growled. He stood up and stretched, and feel the sun.
His eyes met Gowri's and then asked, You coming?
Yep. Now that my hair's out of the way, it'll be easier to catch the waves,
Gowri said as he shook the cobwebs out of his brain and woke up.
Gotta move.
Zell and Lena discussed the song some more, until Lena declared it was time to get some fresh air and hopped up. Zelos wandered over to where Amelia and Hokuto were sitting and offered them each a hand up.
Shall we go play for a bit before dinner? He asked.
Whose?
Lena, it's your cell phone, Zell called out to her.
Who is it? I don't know. He didn't say. He smirked at her as he tossed the phone at her. Yeah? She shouted. I'm on vacation and about to hit the sand, so make it snappy. She frowned, then smiled as she recognized the caller. Tosky! How goes it? Great! Who? You want to talk to Zelos? I'll give you his number, but he's right outside the door. What? You must be kidding! Yeah, well, don't joke about stuff like that with me. I want no romantic ties, get it? Okay, hold on. She ran to the door and screamed, Zelos! Yes, Lena? He returned in a flash. Call for ya, Tasky, she added to answer his unasked question. My, Tasky. What a surprise. My help? Replacing Nuriko? What's the matter? Oh, that's rough. For how long, do you think? I see. Well, I'll have to check with my boss. Lena, of course. Who else? Zelos smiled and asked, Nuriko has laryngitis, and the band has 2 more gigs. They need a stand-in, and I'm the only one they could think of who already knew their material and could learn the dance routines on such short notice. They could live without me, but I don't really care one way or the other. I'm a slayer first and foremost, so... Go ahead, Lena smiled. Get your mind on something else, eh? Oh, but ask him about the costume. I don't think you want to start cross-dressing at 18 years old, right? She chuckled as his eyes widened. Oh, that's right. Thanks, I never considered that. Zelos turned back to the cell phone. Tasky, oh, you heard. Well? No, definitely not. I have my own kimono top. I'll be less colorful, like the shadow of Nuriko, okay? So, how about a practice? Okay, my number is... Wait a minute! Tasky? Nuriko? Hokuto squeaked. You mean, you know the Suzaku 7? Yep, Lena said. Tasky's an old friend of mine, and Nuriko's one of Zelos's. And now we're all buddies. We toured with them earlier. And I guess I'm the new Nuriko. Zelos sighed, turning off the phone and handing it to Lena. Yeah, well, he'd do it for you, except I doubt he could play the drums worth beans. Lena shrugged. Wow, now that's 4 bands with connections, Hokuto said. You know, Subaru, isn't there a big competition coming up? Yes, the Battle of the Bands. It's a fundraiser for an outreach program, if I remember correctly. But I'm not sure...
Yeah, you guys should definitely enter, Hokuto said. I'm sure the Suzaku 7 will, and the Seals and the Harbingers certainly are. There's a whole bunch of other bands in the area, you know? Like those Sailor Girls and the Gundam guys or something, whatever they are. And of course the Seals are the best. Or maybe the Harbingers are. Ooh, I can't choose. I just can't choose between my brother and my honey. Cruel fate! She cried theatrically.
Hokuto, Subaru sighed. Psh, Val spat. I wouldn't get so riled up. We can beat out both bands any day of the week. The Slayers are number one, baby. Val howled like a wolf.
Hear, hear, Lena agreed. Yay, from Amelia.
Yay. We're entering, aren't we? Zell sighed. No way I can talk you out of this.
No way.
I thought not. Zell gave up. Honey? Zelos whined. Lucky for you, she's taken, Zell commented unsympathetically. Come on, I know where there are piles of logs waiting for construction.
Zelos caught his friend's twinkling eye.
Forts. I'll pass it on to Val, and Gowri should love it too. Why, with him on the construction crew, we should be able to build some really impressive stuff.
What's that? Val asked.
Zell's taking us to play with the big tinker toys. You know, the ones for men.
Oh, Gowri!
Zelos yodeled. This'll be fun.
Val was actually hoping that they'd be able to romp like kids again.
but with the strangers and the girls, he wasn't so sure. He had an image to maintain. However, Zelos did not, and so he took it upon himself to gather everyone and cajole them all into participating with him as his therapy. That worked, too. Do it to help the poor never had a childhood Zelos. Guilt trip them all. Not that it was necessary, of course. Everyone wanted to build forts and houses out of the huge driftwood beams scattered on part of the beach. They just didn't know how to get started.
I've never quite done this before, Subaru admitted, looking shyly at the piles of wood that the kids were picking through.
Oh, look at this one! It's shaped like a Y! I bet you could do something with this! Hokuto exclaimed over a treasure.
Yeah, that's big enough to be a support pillar. Gowri appraised it. Hey, Val, help me haul this one out, if you're not busy.
Zell noticed that Subaru looked distressed and a little lost. How could he dig through the sand in delicate gloves? How could he lift chunks of wood with twiggy arms? He was very quiet, standing there looking past them all at the sea.
Subaru? Zell said in a low voice. I could use a little help with mine. Would you mind?
Me? Well, of course. How can I assist you?
The delicate boy asked. Take that end, right, and lift it over there, while I do the other, and it'll be turned around so that...
Zell began. Oh, yes. I see now what you're trying to do. You'll need another log on top over there.
Ah, yes. Well, we'll look for that next, then. I'm pretty strong, but the work goes faster with some help.
Zell smiled slightly, reassuring the other guy of his usefulness. Soon they were all building lodges, cottages, and, in Lena's case, sorceresses' castles, in varying degrees of ineptitude.
And if you put that one on top, it'll look like a shrine gate, Subaru said, excited.
This was fun, if only his stupid gloves weren't in the way.
Yeah, that'll look cool, Zell humored him. Here, let's get that log from over there.
Lena's castle had a triangular archway entrance, with a single roof beam balanced on top and lodged into the sand dune in the back. She was finding poles long enough to be stuck in the ground, but still lean on the roof beam to make walls and ceiling in one go.
But if I leave this section open, I can start another room in this section.
She looked up. Amelia!
What?
Amelia asked. How's yours going? Amelia looked at her pile of sticks. Engineering wasn't her strong suit.
Sucky, huh?
Well then, join with me. Give me your sticks, and we'll finish the roof and start on this part, Lena ordered.
Okay.
Amelia was actually somewhat relieved. Zelos had an idea.
Hokuto, ours are right next to each other. What if we knocked out this section and combined them? We'd have the biggest fort of all.
Sure.
Hokuto's eyes gleamed. She was the competitive sort, at heart, and, well, she always secretly believed that she was the best anyway. So any outlet to prove it.
It'll be the best! What if we...
She whispered something into Zelos' ear. When she noticed Val was watching her, she stuck her tongue out at him and went back to talking to Zelos.
What are you doing? Val asked Gowri.
Huh? Oh. I'm building up sand around the base, a windshield, and it'll support the rest, he explained.
His had pillars and triangles jutting up from the sand, ready to be filled in. It looked the most sturdy.
Want help? You've got to be good at this, since you're in the construction biz and all.
Sure. Why does it matter?
Gowri scratched his head.
Because that creepy little girl thinks she and Zelly can make the best fort. And I'm gonna prove her dead wrong, Val declared with fervor.
Oh, yeah? Lena said, overhearing him. You've got some competition, you know. Me and Amelia, ours would win by artistic merit alone.
Screw artistic merit. Ours is gonna stand up if it gets hit with a typhoon.
You don't think you've taken us out of the running?
Zelos piped up. Ours is big and well-designed, and we've got all sorts of plans.
Looks like a cheap heap to me.
Yeah, well, yours looks like a skeleton,
Hokuto sneered back at Val.
And both of yours are hunks of junk compared to my castle.
Oh dear, they look serious, Subaru quavered slightly to Zell. They're always serious about trivial things. It helps distract them from the big things in life that they can't deal with, Zell told him. Now, what if we dug this part out?
I see, like this.
I bet you'll never even get yours done, Lena sniffed at Val. None of us will if we keep arguing, Hokuto cried. Come on, Zellos, let's get to work.
Fine. Come on, Amelia. We need more sticks.
Right! Amelia found a pile. Perfect!
Oh, no, you don't, Hokuto screeched. I saw that pile first.
Well, we need them more.
Says who?
Well, I do. As the champion of justice, I say finders keepers.
That's not justice. Hokuto grabbed some sticks.
Hey, that's stealing. Stealing's wrong.
Amelia grabbed them too.
Not if no one owns it.
Hokuto pulled, hoping to dislodge them from Amelia's grip. But the girl was far stronger and more tenacious than Hokuto had expected.
I needed another big log, Gary mentioned to Val. Like, this size. He pointed to one already standing. Sure, how about that one? Perfect. You can handle that one by yourself, I know. It'll go over there.
Val strode off to the debris pile containing the chosen log, and wrapped his big, tan fingers around it.
Hey! Hands off our log!
It was Lena, before him, with her hands on the far end of the wood, trying to drag it away.
Don't see your name on it, Val snorted.
It's right here,
Lena punched him.
Hey, he growled. You've been wailing on me all day. It really pisses me off.
You want to make something of it? I'd love to see you fight back,
Lena challenged him.
You asked for it, Firebrand.
Val ran at her, and she nimbly jumped out of the way. He swung around and kicked the legs out from under her. From the ground, she dove at his ankles and tripped him, too. And he, being taller, had a long way to fall.
Gah!
In the meantime, Amelia and Hokuto were still playing tug-of-war with the sticks. Zellos began wondering where his teammate had gone off to, and emerged from his project to find them childishly refusing to give in.
Hello, hello. Amelia, just give us the sticks. There are plenty more.
Then there are plenty more for you. Miss Lena wants these sticks,
Amelia protested.
Oh, come on, Amelia. Aren't you always complaining of being treated like a little kid?
Zellos wrapped his fingers around the bundle also. By this time, Lena and Val were rolling over and over, grappling with bloodlust in their hearts. Both were volatile by nature, and had been deprived of any way to express their pent-up aggression. This felt great. Well, except for the pain.
Just a little more sand built up on this side, and Subaru, will you drag over some of that washed-up kelp?
Sure.
Wait, Zell noticed something. Subaru, you're not wearing your gloves.
Yes.
He blushed, hiding his white, barely sandy hands.
I couldn't dig with them on, you see. I'll go get that kelp.
He ran off to the lapping tide. Zell shook his head. What a strange and mysterious kid. Though he was sure that the more he knew about him, the stranger he'd be. What had taken him so long saying goodbye? What secrets did he have? Zell realized that he didn't want to know. It would be better if he didn't know this poor child's whole messed up story.
Mine! Mine!
Both of you. Zellos tugged harder. You're acting, he grunted with effort, like children.
Damn you, bastard!
You little...
Gowri watched his friends fight and sighed. Why couldn't they just be more reasonable?
Now, now.
He walked over to the tussling Lena and Val.
Can you guys relax?
Stay out of this, Lena warned him, before biting one of Val's fingers that was heading for her throat.
Gowrie furrowed his brow, then relaxed, and, with a sigh, returned to his project. If they didn't want his assistance...
Lena and Val were on their feet when Lena leaped at his face, yanking his headband over his eyes. He blindly lashed out, nearly catching her up in his talons, but rolled his foot over a pile of loose driftwood and fell backwards, flailing his arms and knocking down the front porch of Lena and Amelia's place.
Oh!
Lena howled. Murder was in her eyes. Amelia dropped the sticks, sending Hokuto to her ass.
Oh no! Wailed Amelia.
Her limpid eyes drew to steely hardness, determination creasing her brow.
We must take a stand for justice and strike back!
Oh, crap, Val moaned, rubbing his twisted ankle and bruised shoulder. His head snapped up at the sound of Lena's little scuffling feet tearing off in the direction of his structure. No, don't mess with my place, you little... Lena started messing. Zelos helped Hokuto up in a very gentlemanly fashion, and they returned to their building while Val, Lena, Amelia, and Gowrie were suitably occupied. Gowrie looked up from the log he had been toting down the beach to see Lena on a rampage through the structures, with Val roaring in hot pursuit. Both of them were zeroing in on his well-crafted, but as yet unfinished, edifice.
Lena? Lena! Val! That's my stuff!
He yelled and set off at full speed to intercept anyone attempting to bring down his masterpiece. Oblivious to Zelos, who was about to complete a rather delicate balancing act to complete his roof, Gowrie gently nudged the smaller guy in his failed attempt to block Lena from her prize.
Sorry, Zelos, he muttered,
then turned his attention to Lena.
Now, Lena, you don't want to mess with this stuff. It's mine, and I've spent a lot of time on it.
Gowrie gave her a wide-eyed puppy-dog look, sure to turn her from the path of certain destruction. Zelos, after being winged by Gowrie, who outweighed him by 100 pounds, fell headlong into his main supporting wall, sending the roof down on top of him.
Oh dear, Zelos! Hokuto exclaimed. Are you all right? Here!
She helped dig him out of the debris in a less-than-ladylike manner.
Come on, Miss Lena!
Amelia urged her violent friend in a moment of reason.
It is Mr. Val we should be attacking, not Mr. Gowrie.
Fine. And Lena was after Val's blood again, drawn away from Gowrie to his relief. However, the relief was not long-lived. Zelos was back on his feet, and he was coming. Gowrie stretched himself nearly 10 feet in every direction, blocking the path to his building. He was determined to shield it with his body, his greatest asset. Zelos was smiling as he twirled a long, thin pole of wood, like one of his karate bow staves.
You should not have bumped me, Gowrie. Now you shall pay.
Watch out!
Val cried, running past them at full bore away from Lena, and ducking behind the nearest shelter, which was...
Go get him, Zelos!
Hokuto cheered.
Vengeance!
Zelos cried. Ignoring the dynamic battle about to ensue, Lena propelled her little body like a missile right past Gowrie and tackled the nearest pillar of the fortress. It wavered, listed heavily to the left, then slid, inexorably, down under the weight of the overloaded roof, due to Amelia's triumphant stance upon its top.
Justice triumphs!
Amelia cried on her way down. Subaru flinched.
That didn't sound good.
Better not look. I'm sure it's a disaster. See, this is great roofing material, isn't it?
Zell said.
It's perfect. And there's plenty of it, too. It'll go great with these. Subaru started weaving sticks in with the kelp. Now that they won't be needing them anymore, he smiled. Zell shook his head, smiling as well. While the battle raged on behind them, the two boys wove sticks into a mat of seaweed for a rainproof roof. And this stump would make a great chair, Subaru cooed.
Great. Now he was furnishing the darn thing. He was a little too into this.
But Zell didn't have the evil drive to dishearten this poor kid. It was probably the first time he'd ever been out in unbridled nature, left to his own devices, after all.
When the dust finally settled and the players, exhausted, lay their squabbles aside, all that was left standing, which could be classified as a building, was Zell and Subaru's kelp shrine. Val tried knocking the sand out of his hair, but it was pretty well glued together with his hair gel. He grumbled something deprecating about little girls, but not loudly enough for anyone qualifying to be called that to overhear.
Gowrie stood, arms folded, and surveyed the damage. Yep, nothing he could ever build would ever be able to withstand a Lena cane. Unless... he pondered using steel I-beams the next time. Amelia and Hokuto were scrabbling on the ground to help Zellos find a contact lens, which had relieved itself of its purpose and deposited itself under Lena's foot, unbeknownst to anyone. Lena hopped to her feet, grinding the delicate little plastic disc into the sharp sand.
Well, looks like the last one standing is Zell and Subaru's.
Oh, looky! Hokuto crooned. Isn't it precious? Subaru, you are so clever! Look how nicely woven the roof is! And the inside is all dug out, and it even has a place to sit inside!
That was my idea, Subaru gushed.
Of course it was! I'm just surprised your partner there let you get away with it!
Both Zell and Subaru blushed on cue, sending Lena and company into gales of laughter. Even Zellos laughed, glad not to be the one under scrutiny for odd behavior. Zell tried to cover his embarrassment with a show of checking his watch.
You know, if you want dinner, we should be building a rock-lined pit and starting a fire.
You got the Boy Scout to do that for you.
Val growled, I'm showering this mess out of my hair.
He leaned in closer to Zell as he passed him, saying,
So what was with the watch check-in routine? You're not even wearing one.
Hey, Zellos, Lena said. You gonna let him do that? He and Gowrie already have a head start on ya. Zellos looked blankly back at her.
You're usually two showers ahead of everyone by now, she added with a chuckle.
I'm not that messy, he countered. Am I?
He asked, then scratched his sandy scalp and watched a flurry of fine sand fall out.
Ew, now you've got me thinking about it, and I have to go find some glasses.
My fingernails are dirty, Subaru gasped in a near whisper. He raised his watery green eyes up to Zell's and smiled. I've never had dirty fingernails, with the gloves and all.
You wouldn't have, Zell replied with restraint.
Hokuto gasped. Subaru, your gloves! They're right here. He dug them out of his red coat pocket and showed them to her, blushing redder than Zell's sunburn.
But, she choked, you've never taken them off before. Not like this.
You can't dig in the sand with gloves on, he said quietly.
Subaru, you have to put them back on right away!
Hokuto dragged him off to the house after the sandy Val and the creeped-out, partially blind Zellos, presumably to wash his hands. Lena shook her head. That is one bizarre kid.
Tell me about it, Zell groaned.
Nice, polite, and completely whipped into submission. He's even worse than you.
Thank you, Lena. Nice to know there's someone under me in the social order.
Hey, you can't be on the bottom forever, Lena shrugged. Let's dig that pit.
I want to eat when the wusses are done preening themselves.
Amelia, would you go find the food? Zell asked, and relayed a list of what they needed. Delighted to be useful to her beloved Zelgadus, Amelia scurried to carry out the orders. Zell smirked at Lena when the younger girl was out of sight.
Yeah, yeah, I get your point, Lena conceded, then reconquered with, but Amelia doesn't count.
Gowrie's eyes followed Amelia for a few seconds before he called out to Lena.
Guess I should help carry stuff, right, Lena?
Then neither does Gowrie for you, was Zell's satisfying rebuttal.
Hey, Lena growled, let's not go there, pal.
Suddenly, Lena's warning look gave way to mirth.
But did you see Val's hair? It was like a sandcastle on his head.
Hey, give me that hot dog! Lena yelled, as hers slid off the end of her stick and into the coals. I don't care if it's a little burned.
More like charred, Lena, Zell noted as he gingerly rolled the meaty object into some ashes and stabbed at it with a shorter stick. And I think it's still cold inside. There aren't any juices bubbling out.
Zelgadus, for the love of... I am hungry, and I don't give a flying fig for your appraisal of my culinary expertise, she said, batting away his hand and dumping the sad result onto her plate. Now, give me a bun with ketchup and mustard.
As you wish, Zell smirked. And what is it that I can do for you, Val?
Show me how you get yours so perfect, Val grumbled. His hot dog was splitting down the middle with blisters covering one end and the telltale signs of never been touched by warmth on the other end.
Patience, my man, patience.
Zell smiled and gave his second stick a quarter turn.
Watch this.
Yeah, watch this! Lena shouted. Then, without further warning, she snagged his beautiful hot dog and jammed the entire thing into her mouth, chewed, then swallowed it in 5 seconds flat. Woohoo! Am I good or what? She crowed. Zelgadus opened his mouth to complain, but decided against it, knowing that it wouldn't do any good anyway. Instead, he pierced another hot dog with his stick and began anew.
What are you doing?
Zell asked the odd Subaru kid, sitting next to him like a shadow.
I dropped it. I mean, I tried to turn it, and it slipped right off, and now I think it fell somewhere back in these coals, the boy said sorrowfully.
Just start over. There are plenty more. Tofu dog, right? I'm glad you're eating them, because no one else does. We've got a vegetarian friend, and I forgot she wasn't coming, so I picked up these by mistake. Here, let me do that. Don't those gloves bother you? Zell said. He was getting exasperated by too many people around him.
Yes, they do, but it doesn't matter. I have to wear them. Oh, thank you for fixing my hot dog. I see. You are using the rocks to wedge your stick in place so it doesn't fall.
Yes, Zell hissed. You can watch mine as well. Excuse me.
He scurried off to an out-of-sight spot and huddled alone in the dark. Zell was not a party person. He needed his personal downtime. Zelos took turns feeding either Hokuto or Lena bits of his food, while Hokuto offered him tastes of hers for comparison. Amelia giggled and told them they reminded her of cute little baby birds being fed by the big mother bird. That stifled the game immediately. Lena hated cute more than she loved being fed, apparently. And Zelos didn't feel very motherly towards either of the pretty birds eating out of his hands. Gowrie had learned his own tricks through Boy Scout training. Had anyone noticed, they would have seen how he used two sticks running parallel through 8 hot dogs in a row. None fell off. Everything cooked just fine. He wolfed them down before Lena moved over his way to check out his progress.
Nothing to eat? She asked him.
Not now, he said,
gulping down the last remnants of hot dog number 8. Shaking her head, Lena indicated her empathy for his situation.
Yeah, well, here, take this one. It was Zell's anyway, and I know you need to eat to keep up your strength.
Gary did a double take. Was Lena being generous?
Gee, thanks, Lena, he sputtered out at last. Are you sure?
You had better swallow it before she has second thoughts and takes off your hand in her haste to devour it, Hokuto cautioned.
A low growl from Lena signaled the error of her ways.
Oh, come on, it was just a joke.
Ha, ha, ha,
Lena muttered.
She sniffed and turned to see Zelos holding a flaming torch aloft.
What are you doing, Zelos?
He winced a little behind his recently unearthed glasses, then smiled.
Marshmallows?
Subaru was cowering back away from the flames, but his eyes were plastered to them. This was the most amazing day of his existence. He'd never done such ordinary things with so many extraordinary kids his own age, or so he judged they were. Building forts, cooking out, entranced by the dancing flames, he was slowly leaning closer.
Watch out! Someone shouted. Val and Gowri dove for the poor kid, Val knocking him out of the way, and Gowri scooping him up and carrying him away from the towering inferno.
Subaru! His sister cried out. Are you okay?
Yes, I don't know what happened just now, he gasped, visibly shaken.
You just about fell into the fire, little buddy, Gowri said, patting him on the head. Where's Zell? Hey, Val, do you know where Zell is?
Yeah, he's shouldering the weight of the world off over that way somewhere. Val squinted into the dark beyond the sheltering dune nearest him. I'll go get him. He found Zell staring at the starless void overhead, contemplating his pointless existence as usual.
Yo, dude, Val growled. Your presence is needed by the fire to keep the space case alive.
Oh? Zell said, looking over toward the source of the noise. He's all right, just no odder than we must seem to him, I guess. He stood, agilely hopping over a pile of driftwood and rocks.
He nearly burned up in the fire without you there to protect him, Val snickered.
Zell heaved a snatch of wood at Val, clipping him on the side.
Hey! Hey yourself, Val.
Zell smirked as he found a spot, which magically opened up as he showed up, between Subaru and Amelia.
Oh, joy, he muttered.
Amelia was saying how scary it was, all dark, with only the fire for light. She used that as an excuse to draw closer to Zell.
Zell sighed and looked around to see if anyone noticed.
Zelos smiled and shook his head from the other side of the fire.
So now what? I'm not ready to go back to the house, Hokuto said.
Well, Zelos drawled out the word as he lowered his voice. I think it is time for tales of horror.
Oh, Mr. Zelos, I'm already creeped out! Amelia half cried, half giggled in her excitement. He tells the absolutely most frightening stories, and they're mostly true, too, she maintained.
Well, now you've got him all worked up, there's no stopping him, Zell chastised her amiably.
Lena found a rock that yielded to her will and pulled a towel, which materialized around her neck, over her skinny shoulders.
Might as well get comfortable.
Gowri felt a sharp little shoulder blade dig into his side a moment, and looked down to see Lena snuggling up. He draped a dry towel over her shoulders and smiled. Nothing could spoil this evening for him now. Val settled down between the Lena Gowri lump and Zelos. He wished Philia had been able to come. Now would be the perfect time to watch the golden highlights in her hair sparkle in the flickering firelight. He pulled up his discarded shirt and stuffed his arms into the sleeves, then fumbled for a cigarette.
No, not tonight. And found his little notebook and a stub of pencil. In the dusky light, he began a poem. In our school, Zelos began, looking pointedly at the twins, there are 7 halls. The 100 hall, the 200, 300, 400, 500, and 700.
You forgot the 600 hall,
Hokuto piped up. Ah, but there is no 600 hall. Or is there? His eyes flashed as his face grew hollow. You can look for it. If you want, we'll give you a tour in September. The 100 hall has the gym, nurse's office, health room, psychology room, home ec, and cooking type classes. 200 has foreign language and the computer lab. 300 is social studies. 400 is English. 500 is science, and 700 is the second story with math. On one end is the gym, the other has the auditorium, and the cafeteria is in the middle.
If this doesn't start getting scary, I'm gonna fall asleep, Lena warned.
Zelos ignored her. For a long time, I thought that nobody knew anything about it. Then I found the right people to ask, and with my keys...
His keys?
Subaru whispered to Zell for assistance.
He has keys to every lock in the school. Don't ask why.
Well, I couldn't get any solid information, but I did find out that there are secret passages in the school, and one door that I don't have a key to. So I asked around again, and eventually...
You see, our school was built in the 50s. When it was being constructed, the original plans called for one hall to be on top, the second story math hall, and one to be underneath, a bomb shelter. It was the 50s, after all. They used to have bomb drills, and they'd lead all the students down there to cower in the semi-darkness every couple of months, like fire drills and lockdown drills today. But they stopped doing them far before they stopped showing duck and cover film reels in classrooms, not because the nuclear scare was over, but because of a tragedy. Hokuto gasped. Zelos smiled slightly, a sinister curling of his mouth, and thought about how he'd love to scare this cutie and her brother. She might cling to him in fear a little, and Subaru might do something embarrassing to Zell. He continued. Once, after a drill, a couple of goof-off kids, freshmen, just wanting to scare their teachers and have a good time, broke into the shelter a couple of days after their first drill-time visit, and hung out there for a few hours, glad to be skipping class. But when they decided that was enough, they just wanted to come out and see the trouble they'd caused. They found they couldn't open the door. Some well-meaning janitor had walked by and locked it, unaware of their presence and probably hoping to circumvent such a thing from happening. Well, after the initial panic, they thought they would be fine, until the next drill. There was all of that canned food, and those supplies down there, after all. Enough to last a nuclear winter. Zelos smiled fiendishly. But they were wrong. They never saw the next drill, never saw the trouble they caused. You see, there was a flaw in the building's construction. Somehow the airflow to that 600 hall was cut off, and the central heating exhaust funneled into the bomb shelter. The 600 hall was a death trap. The boys suffocated to death on carbon monoxide.
That's horrible!
Amelia and Hokuto both cried. And because they never got to see their school's reaction to their death, in life, they still haunt the bomb shelter. They still linger there to see if they can draw anyone in. Because they weren't the last kids to die down there. There were 2 more in the 60s. Another in the 70s. In fact, I found out about this from a teacher who went back there then and knew the kid who died. The kid was obsessed with finding out about the 600 hall, and that was his doom. The troublemakers haven't claimed a victim in a long time. That's why there's no key to the door.
they don't want us getting down there, for fear of the vengeful ghosts, he finished. That was a real scary one. Regardless of any Zelos touches, it was a perfectly plausible story, and chillingly close to home. Somehow, it didn't seem like a lie.
Why hasn't somebody put them to rest?
Everybody jumped, then turned to look at Subaru, who had spoken.
I mean, if they're dangerous, you can dispel them.
Help them to pass on.
Subaru? Hokuto hissed in warning.
What do you mean? Amelia asked. Exorcism? Lena perked up. You're talking about exorcism.
Well, yes. He blushed fiercely. That's what we do, the Sumeragi family.
Then maybe it's no accident you're going to Seirun High, Zelos said cryptically. This was unforeseen. He'd expected this girly wimp to be shaking in his shiny red boots, not competing with him for creepiness.
Yes, we've got all sorts of ghosts, Amelia quavered. Zelos, tell him the one about old Tim.
Ah, yes, old Tim. Zelos settled back into his mode of storytelling. This story was a comfortable groove for him, and he hammed it up. But good, sending Hokuto into a shriek at the end, but eliciting nothing but another strange statement from Subaru about how the bell tower should be purified. This annoyed him, so when Amelia said,
"Remember the time we thought we saw old Tim, but it was really... I mean..."
He was ready to turn that into a story as well. But it was really something much worse, he said, looking into the fire so that the dancing flames reflected off his glasses eerily.
Do I want to hear this? Hokuto asked Amelia tremulously.
If you want to know more about Mr. Zelos, Amelia answered cautiously.
It was a dark and stormy night, Val intoned darkly.
Val,
Lena warned. Well, it was. We were strolling by our high school one night after a long day, Zelos began.
When Miss Sylvia, another friend, kinda, Amelia stammered. She pointed out this...
shadow, Zelos continued. A figure, darker than the shadows cast by the moonlight through the tower windows as the clouds flew past. See, what did I tell you? Dark and stormy and night, Val smirked, then returned to his poem. A shadow appeared in the tower opening. A voice shrieked in terror. Amelia cringed and fell, spraining her ankle, and obliging my friend Zelgadis here to half-carry her, while I carried her the other half of the way back to my lair.
Amelia blurted out, it was our band's practice room, until it got burned down last month by some very bad people.
She blushed at her near mistake. Just. Zelos' eyes flicked a signal to Amelia before he went on with his tale. As we got settled in, the storm hit. What did I say? Got a storm now, too, Val hollered. He thought he was funny anyway, and laughed himself to the coughing stage. Lena got in a hit this time, connecting her elbow between a couple of his ribs. The lights went out. Zelos clapped his hands together loudly. No light, no heat, no cell phone, and a room full of horny teenagers, Val hooted, and rolled out of the way of Lena's fist.
Sounds interesting. Hokuto smiled tentatively.
More so in the telling than if you'd been there, Zell muttered. That's because you slept through all the fun parts, Zelos quipped. Right, Amelia? I mean, that's what you were checking every few minutes when you leaned in close and stared. Amelia looked into Zelos' eyes, really terrified this time. Once Zell's icy blues settled on him, Zelos smiled. Just kidding, of course. Amelia's ankle was all swollen, and she couldn't budge an inch, which made the situation all that much worse when there was a heavy knock on the door.
had the shadowy figure from the tower seen us, followed us to our hideout, with nothing but the 25-cent lock on the door to separate us from tragedy.
So, who was it? The man in the tower? He didn't kill you, 'cause you're all here, except for that one sylph girl. Oh, no, she was killed?
Hokuto practically wailed. Zello smiled. No, such luck. She's just fine. As it turned out, the figure was a man, and he eventually did track us down. Zelgadis and I in particular. He had been my stepfather, my second one, a child abuser, and he wanted to make one last memorable Zelos, Zell said. Impression, Zelos finished. He captured Zelgadis and me and locked us up in that tower, and Gowri and Lena led the posse to save us. And here we are. Thanks to your old wolf dog, and after a few weeks' stay in the hospital, which reminds me, Lena kicked at Zell's elbow, where is your dog? Sleeping peacefully on my bed, keeping it warm and protecting it from intruders. Subaru looked up. You have a dog? No, we have a vicious, feral wolf who likes to gnaw the faces off of delicate young... We have a sweet, mostly blind old dog who's a wonderful companion, even in its old age. Zell corrected Zelos before he insulted two creatures who couldn't stand up for themselves. Why do you ask?
Oh, nothing. Sorry to interrupt. But I love dogs. All animals, really. But dogs especially. They're so human, I can recognize the ones I'm friends with by their bark-like voices. When my dog died... He shook his head. Never mind. Sorry I interrupted your story. And it is a very important one, I think.
He looked deeply into Zelos's eyes.
That man, he hurt you, didn't he?
Nearly killed him twice, by my reckoning, Lena inserted. But he's dead now. Zelos's mother shot him. She yawned and stretched before adding, That woman killed all the men in her life, the old spider.
Not quite, Lena. Zelos smiled. Rezo is still alive.
He turned to Hokuto to explain. He's letting us have these houses instead of some university chums. Oh, and he's Zelgadis's father who married my mother, making him my third and last stepfather. And then Val's his foster son.
Hokuto was certainly disturbed.
I don't believe that.
But it's true. Zelos giggled. Not only that.
Zelos.
But Val's stepfather was my second stepfather, and Zelgadis's mother was my sister. Let's see. Zelgadis's grandfather killed Lena's father, and Silphiel's real mother and father. Philia's relatives, somewhat removed, killed off Val's family. Except for his mother, whom our shared stepfather most likely killed. And finally, some lunatic assassin blew up the helicopter my mother and real father were riding in, killing them both. Finally. Gee, Amelia, you and Gowri are just so pure.
What a load of crap, Hokuto grunted.
Yeah, when you put it that way, I'm my own grandpa sounds less ludicrous.
Lena sighed.
I think that Mr. Zelos is telling us the truth, Hokuto. Aren't you?
Subaru looked at Zelos with those big, emerald-green eyes, full of depth and sincerity. Then he looked down.
I'm so sorry that you've all been through such pain. I truly am. No one should have to be put through that sort of thing. When adults make evil choices, children shouldn't have to suffer. I'm sorry.
Hey, it wasn't your fault. Don't worry about it. We're pretty much together, you know. Sometimes you just have to put the past behind you. Tomorrow is always there, undecided, ready to be discovered. And you can't just cling to all the bad things that have happened to you as an excuse for being too scared to face it, Lena said.
Subaru nodded. But you can't ignore the past either. Things happen for a reason, and past events cause future ones.
He swallowed.
So the future isn't as free as you say, I fear.
They thought about it for a moment.
Oh, that's too deep for me right now, Hokuto moaned. Come on, let's have another story.
I'm sort of out. Do you have one, Subaru?
Zelos asked, looking at him slyly.
Well, I...
Subaru deliberated for a moment.
If he doesn't want to, don't force him.
Zell sighed. But before he could finish, Subaru began unexpectedly.
Sakura is pink, but it wasn't always so. It used to be white as the snow. But under every cherry tree lies a buried dead body. The roots drunk up all the blood, the bodies turned all into mud. Now the petals are as pink as the purest child's cheek.
Val looked up. Poetry. Creepy poetry. Too close to home. Everyone shivered and found themselves looking at Subaru with new eyes. Where'd you hear that? Zelos asked.
I don't know exactly.
Subaru was blushing now, though he'd been pale and ghostly during the recitation.
Somebody told it to me once, under a cherry tree. It was spring, and I was visiting the Sakura burial mounds with my grandmother, receiving training, you see. And I don't know what happened, but I was wandering around. Sakura is so beautiful. And I saw this person. He closed his eyes. I was 7. I don't really remember. But this seems somehow important. I can't let go of it, even though I don't really remember. I saw this person, a young man in a high school uniform. It was strange that anyone would be there, since it's private property. But I didn't think about that at the time. I asked what he was doing, and he said that poem. Told me to remember. It's called The Sakura Murders, I think. And then he said...
He stopped and swallowed.
He made a promise, but I can't quite remember. But I know that he said we'd meet again someday, and I believe him. The future isn't as undecided as you say.
He trailed off.
While the others exclaimed about how ominous and creepy that was, Zelos was thinking.
The Sakura burial mounds, eh? That seemed familiar. Something he wanted to forget.